We are a couple days early, but we take this opportunity to celebrate the feast of Saint Patrick, an interesting character who we know some things about, but because he lived such a very long time ago, much of what we know about him is at best probably somewhat mythical, shall we say. We do know that he lived. There are actually some historians that suggest that what's attributed to this guy called Patrick might actually be attributable to more than one person, that there might have been more than one Patrick that did some of the things that Patrick is credited as doing. But given the fact that this guy lived so long ago before we had really good record keeping, and that it's extra biblical, it's not something we find in the Bible, it is a little bit difficult to know exactly what might have been going on. But there's an iconic picture of him. There is probably much of what we know about Patrick might actually, again, tend toward sort of a common adaptations in our own modern day culture. This is a guy who would have been born in what we would now call probably somewhere around Wales. At the time, it was part of the Roman Empire. It was part of Great Britain. Yet, we know him as the patron saint of the Irish. And that's kind of funny because technically, he wasn't an Irishman. He was a Brit. But technically, his name also wasn't Patrick. I think we have a slide with the actual name. Can you show us that, Maddie? Anybody pronounce that? Maywin Sukkot, I guess, is about the best way you can go about pronouncing that if you speak Gaelic. Interesting name, right? Certainly not the the Anglicanized name that we know of as Patrick. But again, much of what we know about Patrick may actually be a little bit on the fabled side. But one of the reasons we study saints isn't because of how great they were, how perfect they were. Oftentimes, it's not the case at all, and that wasn't the case for Patrick. He certainly didn't lead a perfect life, but there's a lot we can still learn from him. And even if some of it's a little bit fictionalized, it's still something we can learn because it gives us something to shoot for. One of the real drags about St. Patrick's Day, however, is that it occurs right in the middle of Lent. And so every year I have to use my favorite meme to explain this. It's Captain Picard who says, whose bright idea was it to put St. Patrick's Day right in the middle of Lent? Well, it's true, though, right? Because we often associate St. Patrick's Day with the celebrations of, beer, green beer, right? And wearing green. Well, that's another little misconception about Patrick. If you look at some of the most earliest art forms of that depict Patrick in icons, he's actually not wearing green. Does anybody know what St. Patrick's color really is? No, not black either. Not orange, not purple. No, y'all, you keep guessing, what sooner or later you'll land on. It's actually blue. Yeah, it's like a sky blue. And that was the color of the Irish territories all through the ages and such. But that was the colors that he was commonly depicted in when he was pictured in his vestments as a priestly figure. Not green. The green comes about because, why? Yeah, the association of the shamrocks, and Ireland is known as the Emerald Island and such, right? Now, he's also known to have performed a great miracle. He drove the snakes out, except the problem with that is what? Yeah, Ireland has never had any snakes that are native to that particular island. So again, a lot of the things that we know about Patrick are a little bit fictionalized, but what's really cool, there was a guy, his name was Maywin Sukkot. He did live, and if he is indeed the same person that we're talking about, or somebody was, he was a teenager in, again, Great Britain, and he was kidnapped. And he was kidnapped by Celtic pagans who brought him over to this uncivilized place called Ireland, and they put him to work. And he worked for the tribesmen for years. Some estimations are 6 years, some as many as 10 years. Some folks estimate that it was around age 13 or 14. Others say it was around 16 when he was kidnapped. But it gives you a general idea. He was a teenager. and he was probably an adult by the time he was released from that captivity. And release isn't really a good word because he escaped. He wrote that he had a vision one night that he was to leave, and so he did. And he escaped his pagan captives, and he went back to a part of Europe that was more familiar to him. He first landed in France, where he was introduced to monasticism because it was some monks that took him in. And then he made his way back over to Britain and to his family and such. And several years had passed, and over that time, Patrick found himself becoming closer and closer to God and felt a calling on his life. And so he ended up becoming a priest of the Christian church. We say the Christian church because you got to remember, this is long before 1054, when we split into two churches, or 1518, when we split into 42 million churches. There was one holy apostolic church in the world, and it manifested a little differently in different parts of the world. The East was a little different than Europe, and even within Europe, England might have been a little bit different than, Wales. But the fact of the matter is, Ireland didn't have a church. They were just filled with pagans. And so part of what Patrick did was he went back over to the island where he was held captive. And this was very dangerous because the pagans would have known who he was and they could have very easily identified him and perhaps even killed him. But he followed the calling on his heart that God had placed, and he ended up converting many a pagan in Ireland to the Christian faith. And the Celtic slash pagan sort of influence wasn't totally rid of itself within Christianity. And so you get a little different flair of Christianity when you look at the Celtic side of things. There's a lot of emphasis on nature, on the beauty of God being expressed in nature through light and through flowers. In fact, it was the shamrock that Patrick used to help explain the divine trinity to the pagan Celts of the time. By using the shamrock, which by the way is not exclusive to Ireland, it grows all over the world, but by using that little three-leaf plant, he was able to explain the oneness within the threeness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he gives us a very interesting sort of study, but perhaps that is what we can really take home and drive home and meditate on and think about. Maddie, if you could show us that slide of the shamrock. We see that if we even look at the three-leaf clover, by the way, the four-leaf clover being lucky, that's another kind of an Americanized, we adapted that as being lucky. It's like one in 10,000 clovers ends up as an anomaly with four leaves. But for St. Patrick, it was that three-leaf clover that he used to illustrate the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being God. And if you kind of look at it, it also even kind of looks like a cross, doesn't it? And then we see that beautiful scripture at the bottom of that slide that we heard tonight from 1 John, the epistle that we read. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And you say, the Word. Well, let's remember that in John's gospel account, the Word is the Son. John reminds us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. So we can also read that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we hear tonight from Matthew's gospel account the Great Commission, which reminds us of what we're called to do as Christians, which is the very thing that Patrick did. Go out into all the world, making disciples of Christ, teaching them what Jesus has taught us, and baptizing them in the name of the Blessed Trinity, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're called to do. And I pray that you will do your part just as Maawan Sukkot did his and all the saints since and before have done theirs. Will you? If you will, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this evening and we're going to profess our faith.